Hey there, welcome to This Truth Talk. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and this is where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. Today's topic is all about why our emotional health matters. You know, our emotional health affects how we think, how we act, and how we feel. You know, emotional health affects how we handle stress, how we relate to others, how we make choices, how we make decisions. Our thought life becomes impacted by stress, and there's different ways that it's impacted by this. We can have time stress, you know, always feeling like we're running out of time, or we're not spending our time wisely, or we're not doing enough. We just stress about this idea of time in general. Maybe stress comes from anticipation. You're worrying about something. You're anxious all the time. Maybe it's situational. Maybe going into work really stresses you out because of the people that are around you, or maybe the ministry or the thing that God has called you to do around certain people, or whatever it is. Maybe something in that situation brings stress, or maybe it's having tough conversations. There are so many different ways that we experience stress. And a lot of it is emotional stress and physical stress. And some of the things I just mentioned are really kind of subcategories of the emotional, right? The anticipation, the situation, having tough conversations, time. And then you get that physical stress, which is over-exercising and under-eating, or not resting and sleeping well, and then going to do a hardcore workout. As you can tell, like I said, there are so many different ways that we are impacted by stress. But the most important thing that I want to talk about today is our emotional health. You know, chronic stress, which is really has a lot to do, I believe, with the emotional side of how we view time, anticipation, situations, people, working out. A lot of that really comes from the emotional part, which is how we believe, how we think. And chronic stress can lead to digestion problems, irritability, fatigue, headaches, you know, difficulty sleeping, low self-esteem. And if you're anything like me, I've experienced all of those. For sure, with the irritability, let's just be honest here. Fatigue, I've had them. You know, when we think thoughts about stress, we have these stress, or we think stress-provoking thoughts, we get headaches. And when we continue to meditate on that, versus if we are meditating on something that brings us joy or makes us laugh, typically we'll feel that in our bodies. We'll have more energy. We'll want to do things. We'll want to wake up. And once we wake up, we'll have the motivation to do what we're called to do. I always like to say that I basically came out of my mother's womb in a fight or flight, really just this state of being where it was survival mode all the time. You know, it's watching how my parents interacted and then how I interacted with people I went to school with. And then when I got my first job and then working, you know, three jobs in the summer to make ends meet or to make money because I refused to live a certain way. And I made these promises to myself. But when I made these promises to myself, according to basically living in fight or flight and living in stress mode 24/7, I made these three promises that were, you know, you were always going to have food, you were always going to have heat, you were always going to have hot water. And out of those three promises would lead me down an emotional path to hustling. I felt like I could never rest. I felt like if I rested, then who is going to be taking care of me? Rest was not a weapon to me. Rest was something that hindered me. It hindered me from moving forward. It hindered me from growing. It was as if rest was my enemy. And this is just one example of my emotional health pattern of thinking. I made these promises to myself based on the situation that I was overcoming through my childhood, through my teenage years, and into my adulthood. And I just thought that hustling was the way of life. We hear phrases like, well, I'll sleep when I'm dead, right? Let's be honest. We know that that is not a way to live. But I began to live as though I did. I mean, I was personal training, teaching fitness classes inside of my basement, which I created into a studio, which is where I was also personal training. So I was personal training in my basement and in a gym. And then I was teaching classes in my basement, which I call my studio. And I was teaching in another local studio. And at one point I was teaching at a local college and at a gym. Then I add on my fitness business that I've been doing for more than 11 years. And I just wanted to carry this badge around that said, look at everything that I do and look at all my titles. But friend, I was so exhausted. I was tired. I was worn out. I was burnt out. Every moment that I had, I wanted to sleep. After my workouts, I was taking pre-workout so that I could work out. And then I was tired and I wanted to sleep after my workout. It wasn't the acts themselves that were necessarily bad. It's what I turned them into and what I made them to mean about me, right? What I've learned about emotional health is always correlated to our beliefs. And then when we get into that situation, what we believe about that situation. And ultimately, it's where we put our trust and who we put our trust in. Because I didn't know Jesus until I was about 22. And at the time of this recording, I'm 33. And even after accepting Jesus as my savior, I didn't really change much of the emotional side of me. The spirit did not really impact the soul much. I just lived out of my soul and my body, and God's word was just kind of off to the side. And that left me really confused and frustrated and in that downward spiral because I depended more on myself than I ever depended on God. Another thing that I learned throughout all this process of hustling and how I was raised and moving through that was I also never really knew how to communicate well. I turned more into a passive person than anything else. I just let people say and do things to me. I had no boundaries. So most of the communication I saw was non-existent, high yelling voices, or conversation that led to separation. That was my example of communication. So I didn't have this understanding of here's these boundaries and communications, here's how to have a conversation, dialogue back and forth without yelling or screaming at each other. And I believe that there is beauty in learning how to communicate well with others and learning how and when our bodies communicate with us. So when we can become aware of our bodies and what they're sharing with us, the more effective we can communicate with others. And that was huge for me, especially when I was hustling and I really didn't have a life and I was trying to wear all these badges and then not understanding how to communicate well and understanding what I really needed. I was just living day to day trying to survive, never really talking with God or asking him what he should be having me do today. And the whole point of really this episode is to get us to understand that our bodies are communicating with us. And no matter how well you learn to communicate with our mouths, our bodies are communicating with us. So the more that we can turn inward to understand how they're communicating, the more we can express outward to communicate more effectively with those around us. I'm going to share with you just 5 steps that can happen in a matter of seconds. But however, the more you tune in, the more that you practice, and the more time you spend with the Father, you can really become in tune with these steps. And the more we can begin to control our reactions whenever we feel triggered by an emotion. So I just want you, number one, when something kind of doesn't feel right, I just want you to take a moment to acknowledge that something doesn't feel right. I think that's really important. You know, our emotional health matters. And so therefore, taking the time to acknowledge what's actually in our brains and what is it that we're thinking in our mind is super important. So let's take a moment to acknowledge that something doesn't feel right. Number two, I want you to think about identifying what it is that doesn't feel right. So name it and call it out so you can begin to move through it. I've seen a couple different articles that I've read about how powerful it is to name what you feel. I think a lot of times we have these swirling thoughts going around and around and around. And what happens is it becomes a mood because it's so much collective input that we're taking in or giving out that we really don't know how we feel because there's so much going on. And so we kind of get in this mood, right? And we say, well, I'm just in a mood. And if I go back to my story about the hustling, if I would just have slowed down for a minute to ask myself, why do I feel the need to have all these jobs? Why do I feel the need to have all these titles? What does that mean about me? Now, that's a collective number of thoughts, but it could take just a moment, one trigger, something that somebody says to you, a moment in your work or quiet time or something that triggers something inside of you that takes you in a new direction that you were not in the moment before. Name it, call it out. And these articles were saying that once we name it, it's easier then to identify it and then be able to move and heal from it. Until we name it, we're just kind of guessing what's happening and we're not really sure what's going on. So number three, you can accept what you are experiencing without it becoming a part of your identity. I think this was a big one for me of owning the stories that I've experienced, owning my past, meaning when I say owning, recognizing it. I'm not trying to change the stories. I'm not trying to numb them down. I'm not trying to change the stories in a way that makes it seem better. I'm healing through it and I'm not trying to allow it to become a part of my identity. I'm just saying, you know what? Right now, this is what I feel. I'm going to name it. It's not who I am, but I can discard that, take it captive, and make it obedient to Christ. Number four, pay attention to what doesn't feel right and what it is communicating with you. Whatever shifted you or put you in a new direction of your thought or your feeling, just pay attention. What was it? Why was that thing bothering you so much? Or why did it shift your mood? Why did it deeply impact you to such an extent that it began to change the course of your day? Ask yourself, why does it not feel right? And kind of think of the root cause. And then number five, have a conversation with God, trusted friends and family, or professional assistance. Again, these steps were really about helping you kind of move through an emotion, move through a feeling that comes up for you. But it's really through the Holy Spirit, through God, that gives us the ability to control our thoughts and to tame our tongue. And here's the thing, I know that it's not easy and I'm doing this with you and I'm learning along the way, but I know that there's a better way. Our emotional health matters because of the effects that it has on our physical body, in our spiritual life. This connects us to people. It connects us to our purpose and our calling. It connects us to, you know, the Father. It's so many things that affect us. Again, when we think about emotional health and stress and why we believe the way that we believe. I'm going to share some scriptures with you about why our emotional health matters. Proverbs 17:22 in the Amplified Version says, "A happy heart is good medicine and a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Philippians 4:6-7 in the Amplified Version says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours." Proverbs 14:30, and this is also in the Amplified Version, "A calm and peaceful and tranquil heart is life and health to the body, but passion and envy are like rottenness to the bones." And that was only three verses that talk about our emotional health. It talks about, you know, Proverbs 17:22, "A happy heart is good medicine and a joyful mind causes healing." Think about how powerful that is. A joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 14:30, again, "A calm and peaceful and tranquil heart is life and health to the body." Our thoughts matter because they bring life and health to our body. And when we have thoughts like passion and envy and jealousy and anger and all of the things that are the lusts of the flesh that Galatians 5 talks about and then some, it doesn't bring life. It brings us death. It destroys our day. It ruins our relationships. It hinders our ability to grow our relationship with the Father. So I want to share with you 7 ways to take care of your emotional health. Number 1, boundaries. Yes, I said it. And it's one of the probably hardest things for a lot of people to begin to identify, put into practice. But I can promise you, when you start to honor yourself and others with boundaries, it's a beautiful thing. So learn to ask for what you need, pay attention to what you don't need, be mindful of what really makes you feel alive, energized, or maybe even shrink back. So asking for what you need is not selfish. It's just communicating with somebody or with another person what it is that will help you to be able to move through whatever it is that you're experiencing, or to create some space between people or situations that need that space to calm down, or to be able to reconcile at a future date, or to provide redemption or restoration. Like, boundaries need to be put into place. Number 2, know what you believe and stick to those beliefs with humility. I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. So I'm not saying that, you know, this is who I am and I'm never going to change. Because if you're growing and maturing with Christ, you're going to change and you're going to grow. And even your beliefs about God might change because you're maturing. So you're getting a greater revelation of who God is. We should be growing in that area. But know your beliefs and stick with those. So be willing to grow, like I said, and mature. But there is a lot of noise and distraction out there. So stay focused on God's word and don't back down from the truth, especially nowadays. It's okay to have an opinion that differs from somebody else, but you don't have to take on their opinion or change just because you guys disagree with each other. So know what you believe, think about what you believe, think for yourself, right, with the Holy Spirit, and stick to that. Number 3, create space for healing, which I love this number 3 simply because it's the first chapter in my 4th book coming out this year. And I read an entire chapter on what it means to create space for healings. But the most important thing I want you to understand is to love deeply means that you will also experience pain deeply. So however, if you have ever found yourself saying that you'll never allow yourself to hurt again, or saying that you're not going to welcome love, or you're never going to allow yourself to feel pain, that means that you're actually cutting off love, right? So the depth that we love is the depth that we will feel pain, right? If we're close with people, if we're in an intimate relationship with people, they know things about us. They're probably going to hurt us to some degree because we're messy people. But what's most important is that sometimes when we get hurt, we put up a wall and we shut down from intimacy with people and sharing and being raw and real. And we start writing people off because they hurt us one time. But to love is to experience pain. Love suffers long, it says in scripture. So take breaks from the places you can, ask for help, and know God is waiting for you. Create space for healing. Number 4, think about what you are thinking. I talked about this already in that 5-step process I mentioned earlier in this episode. Walking yourself through what doesn't feel right, what is it communicating with you, will really help you to be able to kind of rein in your thoughts to be able to control your emotional health. Number 5, watch the words and phrases coming out of your mouth. Phrases like move on, get over it, God has something better coming your way, which they're all true statements in a sense on their own, but sometimes we like to put the Band-Aid down and then the Neosporin, and how many of us know that that just doesn't work? We need to put the Neosporin on and then put the Band-Aid and then it heals. So we need to be able to recognize the story, recognize the event that we're experiencing to be able to heal, move on, and begin to walk through it. So phrases like moving on, get over it, you know, the truth is God will bring something better because he is good. But there are moments and time and places for the phrases that we say because we don't want to hinder our witness and we don't want somebody to feel shame for where they're at in their life or what they've experienced. We are allowed to walk people through maybe a sin or meet them where they're at to be able to bring them to truth. But to shame them in their sin isn't going to cause them to change. So Just a little side note on that. Number six, you guys have probably heard this many times before when it comes to your emotional health. Move your body. Even moderate physical activity can reduce feelings of depression and stress and significantly improve emotional well-being. I think more than anything, we get this idea of what moving our body should look like. And we think we have to work out super hard, 7 days a week, high intensity, an hour a day. How about we just start with some walking, change up where you are, get outside, move to a different room in the house, just change your scenery, get up and move your body. And number seven, prioritize sleep. Sometimes it's not the food, it's not the workout, it's not the coffee, the next coffee that you have that will help. The quality of our sleep dramatically impacts our emotional health. I can tell when I'm having a bad emotional day, the thoughts that I have because I'm tired. I will have thoughts when I am tired that say, you're just not doing enough. You need to work harder. This is not good. Why are you doing this? You're stupid. And I just continue down this path of this almost negativity in a sense when I'm tired. And I want you to pay attention to that. How is your sleeping habits? And how do you feel when you get sleep? Maybe you're in a season where it's a little bit hard, which, hey, honor that, grow, learn. It's a season, right? But just pay attention. How are you feeling? And then say to yourself, I'm not going to believe any thoughts today because I know I didn't get any sleep. So tell yourself that you're not going to believe the thoughts that you think today, unless if they're pure, right, good, true, right, noble, and then just continue to let them pass by. You don't have to take every thought as your own. You can just let it pass by, take them captive, and choose the ones that are true, good, right, noble, pure. Okay, I want to end with Proverbs 3:5, and it reminds us that even when things happen, we don't have to depend on how we feel to know what is true and right. And it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. So when you're feeling like an emotional wreck or roller coaster, this is the truth. You do not have to rely on your own emotions or understanding. You can trust God, lean in, and rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart, despite what you feel. Because it's not about your understanding or you making reason, because your brain wants to reason what it sees. It wants to reason what it feels. It wants to have closure. It wants to have an answer. But there are times where we don't have or experience those things. We do not have to rely on our own insight, our own understanding. Go back through, listen to this episode again, take notes on those steps. I'll also have them in the show notes below so you can click on that and head to my website and read the 5 steps and the 7 tips for your emotional health. But I want to know, which one are you going to be implementing? How is your emotional health right now? Rate yourself, check in with yourself, right? Because if we continue to just keep going, our bodies are going to eventually begin to feel it and begin to break down. This is why so many of us will be living in chronic stress, which impacts our health in many different ways, which is why it's not always about the food or the workout or anything else. A lot of times it's the stress. It's the emotional health that impacts the stress and then how your body begins to metabolize that and work through it. If you have any questions for me or need extra encouragement, I would love to hang out with you over on Instagram at jessicahoddle.com. Or if you're really wanting to work through your worth even more and your feelings, I highly recommend you pick up my free guide called Chasing God, Not Your Feelings, How to Live by Faith and Not by What You Feel. Again, it's a free guide. I'll include it in the show notes below. But thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I pray that this encouraged you. If anything reminded you, like, hey, it's time. Here's your permission slip. It's time to take a few moments to breathe, to check in. What do I need? What do I need to put in place for my emotional health so that I can begin to walking in the freedom that Christ has already provided for me? Because when I trust in Him, I get peace, I get joy, I get all the benefits of being attached to the vine. Thank you for taking a moment to leave a rating and review. If this podcast encouraged you in any way, it helps the show just get to new listeners so that they can be encouraged just like you. And remember, challenge the way you think so that you can change the way you live.